This is ESPN 1000, WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Now, back to more Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Old National Bank State Street Studio.
On Chicago for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, we'll talk to Bob Odenkirk here shortly, Chicago native. When is a Saluki, too, proud Saluki. Told Waddle before the show.
Yeah.
We both got our start at the student radio station at SIU, WIDB, and it stood for We in the Basement. Because originally, like, back in the 70s when Odenkirk went there,
did they name it that with that in mind, or did they, that was just
yes.
something?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
so that
I
was the inspiration.
So. I think so. I don't know if that's what it was, and they just nicknamed it because they didn't take care of the student station before I was there. And they like said, hey, kids, you guys broadcast down here. It was like in a basement of one of the dorms.
So what would you be doing? Were you doing sports updates? You doing a sports talk show?
I did a sports talk show.
For how long?
Well, I was a sports director for my junior and senior year.
Okay.
And I DJed. I started off DJing.
Did you have a DJ name?
No, I never had a DJ name.
If you did have a DJ name, what would it be?
I don't know. Maybe Tom Waddle.
That's lame.
Yeah, I know. That is lame. Let's bring in Bob Odenkirk, who also was a star on WIDB Radio for SIU and is now nominated again for another Emmy for leading actor in a drama. And we love Better Call Saul. Oh, we love Bob Odenkirk, and he joins us on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, 5 nominations equals 1 win, I've heard.
How's your stay so far in your hometown?
Oh, it's great. Yesterday was one of the great days of my life. I ate at the Bongo Room. I swam in Lake Michigan.
Ooh.
Even though it was choppy and a little scary. And then that Cubs game last night was just the best. I mean, the weather was awesome. And of course they won, and it was just a great vibe, honestly, in that park yesterday.
Bob,
but it was really great.
Do you get nervous? I know this isn't the first time you've done the seventh inning stretch, but do you get nervous to do it?
No. I should. And it's not. It's actually dangerous not to get nervous because there are, you know, at least 35,000 people who will have to listen to whatever you say or do. Because you're on a PA on a mic. So you should, out of deference and consideration for them, you should get a little nervous and think about what you're doing. But I don't know, man. It's the first time I did it, it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because that stadium is a big crowd. And it's just fun and it's not scary. And, you know, you don't have to sing that song. It's not a song, really.
Right.
It's just a... like a limerick.
Limerick. Bob Odenkirk joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You know, it caught my ear in the way you volunteered it, too. And I think you told them in the booth yesterday that maybe tomorrow is the anniversary of your heart attack.
I'm always bad with dates like this. And, of course, I lost 8 days when it happened. I don't remember anything.
Wow.
From the morning of the day that happened to, I remember talking to the doctors when I was leaving the hospital a week later, but then even then I lost a few days after that. So I don't know. I think it's some kind of survival mechanism that your brain protects you from, I don't know, trauma or something. The bad part was really just, it was hard on my body, the whole thing, but the first night when it happened, and then through the night and through the next day when they did the surgery right away in the morning. So,
what did the doctors end up telling you after you recovered? How bad was it, and how worried were they?
Yeah, it was very weird because my doctor in L.A., he's a cardiologist who took over my case, you know, because that's where I live. When he first saw me and he was talking to me, he was like, well, you know, it wasn't so bad. You're fine. I don't know if he was trying to make me feel better because I went in a week ago because it's a year, either tomorrow or the next day. I really should know. It's the 26th or 27th. And a year is a big moment and for recovery. And he says to me yesterday, he goes, no, what happened to you was really bad, and you shouldn't be here. So when I first saw him, he was like, yeah, not a big deal. I don't know, maybe he was trying to make me not be scared or something, but it's all okay. I'm recovered, and the stent's working great. I have two of them. And after a year, they kind of become a part of your body, and that's a safer place to be because there's no exposed metal.
It's all good, man, right? Yeah, it's all good, man. Hey, Bob, how has it changed your perspective on life in general?
Well, it's still changing my perspective, and probably in the way that you can imagine. You know, I mean, what matters, you know, every day? I still get very wrapped up in really dumb stuff, and I get really angry about stupid things that are insignificant. On top of which, those stupid, insignificant things, you know, also shouldn't bother me. But so, I mean, in general, my life is just the greatest. And so I should just appreciate it and try to exhale. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to learn from it. I'm trying to have it, you know, to grow from it. And the people who were witness to it are the ones who were sort of strikingly affected emotionally in the moment. The whole crew and cast were standing around, and they talked to me about it a lot, actually, because I think they were they pretty much were sure I was dead. And some of them had seen people die in their lives, so they said, you know, this was you did what I've seen before. Tony Dalton in particular had a guy die of a heart attack in front of him, and he said, I've seen it before, and that's what happened to you.
Wow.
So I was just lucky that I had a certain number of people who knew CPR the right way, which, you know, brush up on it if you haven't, and did it right, and they did it for the length of time they needed to, which was a fairly long time.
Wow. It's great advice, and we're so glad you're here. Bob Odenkirk joining us, Chicago area native. I mentioned he's a Saluki as well. Some of the stuff that stresses you out that shouldn't stress you out. Where does it rank on, and I brought this up during Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko, about sticking the landing at the end of this series, that it will be accepted and embraced as a great final episode. Does that wear on you, or is that not stressful?
You know, I'm sure there will be people who don't love where it ends up, and I will be willing to bet already the big argument will be, should it have ended on the previous episode, the one where Jimmy and Kim break up, and then you see Jimmy as Saul waking up going to a day of work in the office that you saw in Breaking Bad. But the truth, the writers felt the truth was there was more to tell. And obviously there's this life that the character has in Omaha, and there's tension there and a scenario that he has to handle. So that's going to be handled. But I think there's more to it than that. And I hope people like where it goes, because I like where it goes. I love where it goes. I always felt, and I don't want to do any spoilers here.
Yes.
But I always felt that this character they created, James McGill, was sort of a very emotionally intelligent, just a really sharp guy who was able to appraise other people quickly. And I always, it bothered me that he didn't seem able to apply that same skill to himself. And I think that's probably true in real life, you know. It is hard to see yourself in the fullest way. And yet I always felt like he should be granted that chance. And without getting into specifics of anything, I think they decided that there was some truth to that he would be capable over time of looking at himself and thinking about maybe the choices he'd make.
I was asking Waddle before, since Jimmy McGill is from the Chicago area, is there any of you in Jimmy or any of you in Sal as you transform?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still don't feel like the choices that character makes are not choices I would make. I'm much more prone to being honest, even to a detriment of a situation. but, you know, I feel like he is a Chicagoan, and I feel like it was a great idea to have him come from here. I think they picked the wrong city. I love Cicero, but I feel like he's probably more of a Southsider. Also, the Irish name. I think Cicero is more Italian and I don't know what else, Polish. I love that he's a Chicagoan, and I felt like that helped me feel like I knew him right away in a deeper way than I did before. When I played him as Saul, it was really fun in Breaking Bad. That was a fun character to play. But, you know, it's just a front. He's just being a showman, and he's very obviously above board about it. So he's kind of entertaining himself, frankly.
Bob is a kid that grew up in Cincinnati that was exposed to the Carol Burnett show on a regular basis. How did you get Carol Burnett involved to play a role in last night's episode?
She was a super fan of Better Call Saul.
That's awesome.
And Vince Gilligan, who created Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, is a super fan of old TV. His favorite channel is MeTV. He watches old Rockford Files, old Canon, old Columbo, anything. He just watches that channel all the time. And I don't know if they show, they probably don't show Carol Burnett, but they do show the ads for her show. You know, they sell the videotapes or DVDs. And he just loves her. So he actually just saw that she'd mentioned the show in an interview, called her up, and he went to dinner with her a couple times, got to know her. And then this scenario, which wasn't an attempt to use her, came up, and she was the right age for it. And they asked if she'd do it. And I won't say more, but the word more.
It was brilliant. She was so good.
A great relationship. I wrote to her this morning, told her how great she was. Like, she needs to hear that because she's heard it a few times in her life. But she is the sweetest and humble and great.
It's great. Bob Odenkirk joining Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Waddle is all caught up, and he's watched them all recently. And I think, Waddle, you think Better Call Saul is as good as Breaking Bad,
if not better. I've enjoyed it better than Breaking Bad. And I loved Breaking Bad. And not to fanboy on you, Bob, but, like, I caught Better Call Saul late. Like, I started watching it probably 2.5 months ago. And I watched every episode, and now I'm up to speed. And I got to say, it's...
Is it better, Bob? Is this a better show than Breaking Bad?
No. And that's not... you're not admitting to failure if you say you're not as great as Breaking Bad, because that, to me, is the best TV show, you know, ever. Which is to say, it uses TV, and especially the kind of TV we have now, streaming, good quality screens, you know, great cinematography. It uses just what TV has become and can be better than any other show, I think, that has been done. And now Better Call Saul, I think, is great and, you know, is right nearby behind Breaking Bad. But I don't think here's one reason. Breaking Bad is a more universal situation that you can relate to, more people can relate to. I always felt like I'm so thrilled that we had an audience for Better Call Saul, because this guy's kind of an oddball. I mean, he's not really... Everybody isn't trying to impress their brother. Everybody's trying to impress somebody, their mom or their dad or somebody, but their brother, and then be a lawyer and the kind of the ins and outs of law. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of idiosyncrasy to Better Call Saul, but I'm glad you like it so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and this is what we always discuss, because we're sports nerds, but we love talking TV. We love talking streaming. selfishly, we all love to binge when you go one episode after another because it's there for you. You don't have to
There's
wait.
There's something to be said for starting our show when you did.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it has been a fun show to watch and like wait till next week and be excited about what could happen.
That's what I was,
We've had such huge breaks between seasons for various reasons, one being my heart attack, but COVID as well. And it's tested our audience's patience. I don't blame them. So there's something to be said for starting Better Call Saul now. Just enjoying the last couple episodes as you get up to them.
A couple quick hitters before we let you go here,
hey,
Bob.
I need to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
General thoughts. Next year's Cubs.
How patient are you, Bob? Yeah, and did you talk to Tom about spending money? Did you ask him if he's willing to spend?
I should have.
Yeah, you should have got to the bottom of that, Bob.
I should. I didn't bother him with that.
You know, I think they'll be better. I hope they're going to spend on a couple free agents. I hope some of the younger guys will start to blossom, and they'll be better. We're in a tough spot with the Bears, with the Cubs, and with the Blackhawks these days.
Yeah.
Is everybody in the similar scenario? Because I only watch baseball now.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of rebuilds going on right now, Bob. When you're sitting around in L.A. with some of your Chicago guys, whether it's Garland or whoever else, watching Cubs baseball, what are your guys' thoughts about where this team is versus where they were a few short years ago?
We grew up with, you know, low expectations. We grew up with low hopes.
Yeah.
So we are in a new era where we do have a little bit of a bright light. We go, we can do it. There's no curse on us now, and we can do this. So that automatically makes it a more fun and exciting thing and a hopeful thing. I have no, you know, there's a weird thing that's happened, which is that because I watch so many games now, and by the way, I was listening to the game right before I called you, and I'll go back to it when we hang up. And you just start to like the guys so much that you want them to win, but you start to just feel good about the team. I think I do because I like the people on the team. Still, I wonder what a rebuild is. I mean, I've never been a part of this. I've never watched closely enough to see a team do it. And I see some things that are very hopeful, but then I don't know how it works with some of the older guys who are great, but probably aren't going to be here in 3 years.
Like Ian Happ, yeah.
What does it mean for them? And at what point do you stop selling people off and bringing just young? You know, at some point you have to, I don't know what, commit to a group and try to have them gel.
Can you draw an analogy between that, what you just described on the baseball field, versus creating a new project for television or a movie?
Yeah, in fact, I'm in the midst of doing that right now, and it's a show for AMC called Straight Man, based on a novel by Richard Russo. And right now, I guess you could say we're in this building part, which feels very uncertain, you know? You have all these different elements going every direction. Something feels great today, and then tomorrow doesn't feel as good, but something else feels better. You got to keep your hopes up because you're never going to do this if you don't just keep believing you can do it. And you got to keep looking at every element and being willing to make a change. But I don't know. Then there comes a point. I mean, at some point, we're going to be shooting, and you got to – that's it. This is what we're making.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, you got all this time to adjust till then, but that's the point where you commit and you work with what you have. And I just wonder when the Cubs do that. I don't know how this goes, how this cycle goes.
I don't think any of us do. Yeah, that for sure. And settle a bet for us as we let you go here. As you know, I've mentioned many times that I'm a Saluki like you. I work the WIDB. I'm on a message board with a lot of Salukis on Facebook. It's not a message board. It's like a Saluki group for people who attended there in the 80s and 90s. And they all noticed the one episode where the valet driver is going to park the car in the parking garage, and you have the view of the camera from the outside looking at the driver, and you see the valet ticket. And in big, bold numbers, it says 618, which is the area code to Carbondale, Illinois, where SIU is. Was that a coincidence, or was that a tribute from you to all of us Salukis?
It's a tribute from me. Go with that. I love SIU. I can't wait to get back down there to get my honorary degree. They gave me one.
So you're saying it wasn't planned then? That was just a coincidence?
It was not planned. Oh, it was not planned. Sorry about that. Unbelievable. But please, don't stop believing me, as the song says.
That's amazing. That's hey, Bob, you're the best, and so happy for your success and your health.
Yes.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
There you go. Bob. He's Super Cub fan, and he's just a great actor, Bob Odenkirk.
His character is unbelievable. Like, I didn't... You guys have given me so many good suggestions about television. I'm immersed in The Wire right now, and there's so many characters there. I don't know why I never started Better Call Saul, because I loved Breaking Bad for so long. But when I started, I was like, this character is a really special character. And I've been thrilled with the present. My overwhelming emotion probably with this show is that I don't want it to end in three episodes.
I know.
Kind of where I'm at.
People on Twitch were like, there were a couple people who was like, oh my God, he's spoiling his own show here. Because there are a lot of people who haven't started this year yet.
Right.
I think Meller was the guy who originally recommended Better Call Saul to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. And so Meller's not caught up on this year's episodes. And then he's hearing some of the things.
My eyes almost bulged out of my head.
But I don't think he gave you anything beyond last night.
Right.
But I wasn't there yet.
If you're not up to date, he gave away something pretty big.
Yeah, I would say this, though. I mean, like, look, he doesn't know where everybody's at in terms of their viewing. I would assume that, I mean, up to speed means that the latest episode is out. He didn't give you anything in the future three episodes.
It is one thing for you and I to spoil an episode.
Yes.
But if the star who's nominated for the Emmy is talking about his own show and he spoils something.
That's a take that from him.
Yeah, you just, it's just, what are you going to do? That's his, it's his show.
Listen, let me make a statement as well that you're going to look at me and go like, oh, duh. Like, heart attacks are bad. I had no idea, seriously, that like he was basically dead for a while.
It's
what he was kind of telling us.
I thought when that stood out to me the most is when he said the actors talk about it often, even still, that they were gathered around him and they thought he was dead.
Like when you say, he had a heart attack. Well, obviously, we understand that a heart attack is a very serious situation. A lot of times you're like, oh, yeah, but they recovered. I didn't understand. Like, he was, and he said that they were performing CPR over a long period of time.
Right. I remember hearing about it, that he's still in the hospital, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
8 days? He says he doesn't remember 8 days.
Incredible. It's it's great. So check it out. It's on, and I do like the point about the streaming versus watching weekly. We didn't really get into it with him because he was talking about the starting and stopping with his heart attack. And like, I love digesting a single. There's a part of me that wants to watch multiple episodes at once, but I do believe that when you watch one episode a week, you savor the episode more, you think about it more, you enjoy it more.
I think binging is for series that have come and gone, and you can watch them all, or at least seasons gone by. I don't mind waiting a week to see. Like, I don't need the entire season to be dropped tomorrow to watch it. Like,
a lot of people don't like that about Apple. Apple does, like, one episode at a time.
The Blackbird is like that. And I think they dropped a couple. The first two were dropped immediately, and now you wait till every Thursday. Same thing with The Old Man, who's now the season is completed. But I don't mind that, but I do. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm enjoying binging watching The Wire, which has been off the air for a very long time. But I look forward to my Monday nights. Like, my wife came home today, called me last night, And she called me like at 9 o'clock, and I go, hey, send me your information. Better Call Saul's coming on. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I demanded the the upstairs master bedroom TV.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm like, look, I know you want to watch Bravo. I'm having Odenkirk on tomorrow. I got to be up to date on the episode.
And for those of you that have seen it, it's a really interesting episode, how it's shot and everything that
and
it's done. It's really
that we've
cool.
not seen before.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Good stuff there. We'll get back to the Bears training camp. Waddle's World, we got to get caught up on Waddle's list. If you want to react to that or anything on your brain, 312-332-3776.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Is that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
All right, welcome in. Pretty swampy in here, as my partner just said.
A shout out to Jesse Rogers, too.
He's
as
the
you
best.
Mentioned during the break. He's one of the best teammates around.
Yes, he is.
He's known that he had a connection with Odenkirk, meeting him a couple times in L.A., and we've been after him here. Especially as the series is winding down to 3 episodes, to get Odenkirk on. And he sought him out yesterday at Wrigley Field and booked it, got his
when
email.
When Jesse's not shirtless, laying on a blue mat in a lake in Wisconsin, having pictures snapped of him in odd positions, he's the best in the business.
I think I can get away with tweeting out that picture.
I think you should.
Jesse sort of he goes, hey, when you sign up for this business, you got to deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
he's got really thick skin, too.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the Julio Jones story?
Julio Jones?
This is breaking news on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Is it?
ESPN 1000.
What is breaking news? It just announced that Julio Jones has signed a 1-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
They have the terms been released?
Not
what is,
yet,
is, what is he paying the Bucs? Like, I'm here.
What? What were you paying the Bengals? You're making fun of Julio Jones? You're making fun of Julio Jones that they...
My point was, Mr. Sensitivity over there, is that Julio Jones, it's not about the money for him. He's going to try to win a ring right now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is what guys should do at the twilights of their career.
33.
I wasn't making fun of him.
Oh,
what
I thought
I was
you
doing.
Were like,
no,
he's
I was
so
saying
old
like,
and help
no.
and injury prone that he's paying the Bucs.
No, he's like,
instead
listen.
Instead of the Bucs paying him. That's the joke I thought you were going
no,
for.
No, he's going. He's going. Probably,
he's not. No, he's not. He's not right.
The way you said it.
A little bit.
This is what you get. Like. I mean, I think this is what guys do. Akeem Hicks is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you're ring chasing and you've had a great career, this is what you do.
And I also think it's a good signing for the Bucs,
yeah.
who have some good receivers. Like Godwin's back, right?
I don't think he's back yet. No, he's coming back from an ACL.
He re-signed, but he's still hurt.
Yes, he's still hurt.
I mean, he's back as far as he signed.
So you still have Mike Evans.
Yeah. Wow. And then now you add, like, in the Gronk spot, a bigger target who's not as good as he used to be. I know he's not a tight end, but just he doesn't have to be Julio Jones of 26.
No.
He could be the 33-year-old Julio
right.
Jones
you
with
just
Tom Brady.
Another arrow in the quiver of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense.
Is he in the Gronk spot or is he in the Antonio Brown spot?
Well, he can't stretch a defense the way that Antonio Brown did, so maybe in between. I don't know.
Shefty
do they
also,
have Scotty Miller for that spot?
Shefty followed it up, too. He said Julio drew interest from, amongst others, the Green Bay Packers and Bucks, but Tampa was the most aggressive in getting its QB a new weapon.
Yeah, I would say, too. I mean, if you're going somewhere, go to Tampa.
It reminds me a lot of the older guys who would go play with LeBron on the teams where all their stars were getting the money, and then all the stars would take such... Well, like Richard Jefferson, you know, would play with LeBron for like $1 million.
That was my point. Yes, I mean, you've got guys that are coming to. This is what you get when you've got Tom Brady as well.
Who's the other tight end who just signed there too? Who used to be with the Vikings, Notre Dame?
Kyle Rudolph for a couple mil down.
Right.
It's interesting. The one thing that's like, even if, of course, you're a football player, your dream is to win a Super Bowl. Julio Jones has never done that. He was really good and critical to the Falcons getting that big lead on the Patriots when Tom Brady came back from that 28-3 deficit. Winning a Super Bowl now in your career, obviously, you know, you're trying to win it, but I wonder if it's just a little less satisfying for someone like that who's been so good throughout his career if he can't be a key piece.
I think if you get a ring and you've played somewhat of a role, he'd be fine with it.
Well, yeah, it's better than not winning it. That's for sure.
It's the exclamation after a Hall of Fame career, right?
We had this conversation, too, a while ago. If you're the Bears, would you pursue Julio Jones?
I would have.
That's fine. Why would Julio Jones want to come here? That's the point.
Maybe he would have gotten more run here. He would have been more in a spot to thrive more.
This is just a guess because I'm not dialed into Julio Jones. The need for that is probably come and gone. Like, he's been an elite receiver in this year for a long time. He doesn't need the ball coming his way 115 times. I think he wants a ring right now. It's a good signing by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for sure. Bears made a signing as well. Riley Reiff, offensive tackle.
I like what they've done in the last 24 hours. They've signed two guys who have played a lot of games in the NFL who will compete for starting jobs. And if the rookies or second-year players don't pan out, you at least have veteran players who know how to play the game.
I think this was
fill the spot in the short term.
I think this was kind of telegraphed by Ryan Poles in the draft. And we all want it, you know, we wanted more help for Justin Fields. Why didn't they take a tackle here? Well, they did in the fifth round with Braxton Jones. But there was a thought there were guys out there that they may be able to add prior to going to camp, and this is what they've done. Look, I've never been a huge Riley Reiff guy. I think he was on the offensive line with the Vikings when that offensive line was a bit of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the Bengals last year, started, I think, 12 games before he got hurt, and I believe that Joe Burrow was the most sacked quarterback. He's a good veteran to have on your roster, somebody that you can count on. Maybe his better days may have come and gone, but right now when you walk into that huddle and you're trying to protect, you know, your quarterback, I think Schofield was a nice addition.
Like, the question is, I think, what did he play last year? He's been a
right tackle. He was right tackle for the Bengals last year.
So he's been a left tackle most of his career, and he played right tackle for the Bengals last year. What's he in line for?
Don't know. I think they asked Eberflus that today, and I think he basically intimated, didn't he? Well, we'll find out tomorrow, something to that effect.
Yes,
right. But with that in mind, would you like the final two guys on my most important list?
I think the list is shot now that Roquan's not on it.
It may be for you, but I love my list. Look at this. Feel this.
ESPN 1000 presents Tom Waddle's Top 10 Most Important Bears for the 2022 season.
Well, that's just great.
Bears.
You hear that, Ed? Yeah. Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Bears. Number two.
Obviously, because practice starts tomorrow, right? I think that's how you guys have suggested
today. Can hold it out for one more day?
I can
Number
if you want.
One. But, Number two.
Tyler said today, give me both two and one. I'll do whatever you want. What do you want today?
It's getting both.
You want both?
We need both before practice starts.
Well, first, you know who number one is. I mean, it goes without saying. He was number one.
Smith.
He was number one. No. I can explain it to you guys
Kendall
again if you want.
No?
Would you like the explanation again, or is
Huh?
Have you moved on from that? Yeah. The whole Roquan Smith. Do you need that explained to you again?
We will agree to disagree.
That's fine, is great. Yeah,
it's your list.
Do you need it explained to you again?
No.
Okay. So number two is...
I think it's quite obvious
as well. It's Tevin Jenkins. I don't know where he's going to end up, but they used a second-round pick on him, told us how nasty he was. You just cannot... continued to go. I know he was drafted by a different regime. You can't keep going through second round picks who give you absolutely nothing.
Zero.
So, you know, ideally you used a high pick on him. He could camp out at left tackle and be your left tackle for the next decade. That would be ideal. I don't know that that's the case. It was disappointing last year. He comes in, he gets hurt. You really got nothing out of him. Now you're going to work him in at right tackle. If he ends up being your starting right tackle and he's not a guy you have to worry about, and he's good in the run game and he's developing as a pass block, you need Tevin Jenkins to be part of your future. He was a second round pick. There's more value placed on him than Larry Borum or the kid Braxton Jones because Moore was invested in him.
We were told we got two first round picks last year.
Well, he was actually my
number two.
He was my prediction of who they were going to draft with their first round pick prior to them moving up and trading.
This is the most excited to a possible bust that I've been since Bob Sapp. Do you remember Bob Sapp when they drafted him? He was a lineman who was like a...
Yeah.
I think he went on to MMA.
Gabe Kareemi was another one, right?
Was never like... This Bob Sapp guy was like a wrestler, and he was an MMA fighter, and he went... And we were told that they got themselves like a guard for the
Mr.
next 15
Nasty.
Year. Yes. Yeah. And I don't want Tevin Jenkins' biggest highlight to be the 15-yard penalty.
Jermaine Effetti last year.
Effetti, you know, in his face.
Yeah, when everyone's like, that's a good move, but at least someone stood up for Justin Fields. He's been getting his ass kicked all year. At least the rookie knew to stand in and get.
Yeah, that's what we've been relegated to as a Bears, as a fan base. Is pumping our fists for.
I was lathered up in
personal
that.
Fouls. I know, personal fouls, and yeah, that's woo, good stuff.
This is a little surprising to me. Honestly, am I crazy? But I feel like...
Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah. In addition to that, though, unrelated, Tevin Jenkins, I'm concerned about the way this...
Totally concerned.
The way this front office is kind of... They're going about their business, putting many of... You know, a lot of opposition for him out there. I'm not...
Think about what they've done. Listen, I don't think they're sold on anybody on this roster.
And I agree with
anybody. One through 53.
Sure.
Or 1 through 80. I don't think they're sold on anyone.
I agree with you. You know, a second round pick is a lot to invest in a player like that. However, the fact that it wasn't them who did draft him, it was Ryan Pace's regime and Matt Nagy's regime, I wouldn't be surprised if they do cut ties with him fairly quickly.
Listen, what I think they've shown you is we got three guys that we consider kind of rookies. Larry Borum, we've got Braxton Jones, and we've got Tevin Jenkins. And they're all competing. And nobody's going to be given a spot ahead of anybody else. And that's the way it should be.
But if he does pan out, then all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, maybe we did get a future cornerstone at one of our tackles.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why he's important.
There's no question. And again, it's also what you've got invested in him. You've invested a second-round pick. Look, he needs to prove that he is capable of manning one of these spots. Again, what has everyone been complaining about? Justin Fields doesn't have enough protection. He doesn't have enough weapons. Well, some of these guys are going to have to step up and define themselves. So Tevin Jenkins is number two for me, and number one is obviously Justin
Fields.
His development is the only... To me, it's really... I won't say it's the only thing that matters this year, but it's the most important component of who this team is. And ideally, what you want is him to define himself as your answer going forward this year. What would be ideal is if he plays well enough to convince you that he's the answer and you still end up with a high draft pick that you could peddle because there are going to be some marquee quarterbacks available coming out in the draft. Now, again, if you are picking 1, 2, 3, or 4, it's going to be because other components on your team haven't really delivered.
Right.
So it's kind of a push and pull scenario.
We were debating about losing games. Oh, I don't want Meller made a comment. I don't want them to win the opener. Look, if they're winning games because Justin Fields is playing well, sign me up. I could deal with not getting a top five. I know what you're saying. The ideal thing would him play well, them have a great pick.
Yeah.
But if they're winning because of him, and he is showing you that he's really good.
Well, think about it as well.
I'm great with that.
Think about what it is. They've reshaped this roster, and it's a roster also that everyone has panned universally.
Right.
If they're winning more than we expect, it's because some of the guys that Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have put their faith in have actually performed.
Right.
Like, if you're winning more games than we expect, like, I've got them at 6-11 or 7-10 this year. If they find a way to get to 8-9 or 9-8, it's going to be A, because the quarterback made tremendous strides. Some of these guys that have been big questions, it's because Cole Kmet has blossomed. Darnell Mooney
has taken
another step. Velus Jones is contributing. Brisker is holding down a safety spot. Jalen Johnson has taken another step.
Maybe he got the right offensive coordinator, too, in Luke Getsy.
Right. So, like, that's why I think this year is going to... Last year, I wasn't excited about the season because I was convinced they were heading in the wrong direction. I'm not convinced they're heading in the right direction here, but I'm more inquisitive and more open-minded about the direction this team is going than the last group, where I thought that the coach and general manager stayed around for a year too long.
Yes.
So there's your list. It was a fun exercise.
Well, what it is meant to do. Can you tweet out his whole list on our Twitter account from 1 through 10?
Listen, how much fun would it be if we all sat here and nodded like bobbleheads and go, yeah, that's great. The key here is to create some conversation as well.
How much fun would it be if Roquan Smith was considered an important player?
And yes, if he felt that you felt that way and I didn't feel that way, I think that spurs on a good conversation.
Can I do later in the camp as we count down to the opening game, top 10 Bears that scare the blank out of me?
Of course.
Can we do that? We should just do about one list after another. Now I'll do a 10 list. Then, Meller, you can do your top 10 list. Could be on anything.
Your list is now, okay, your list can be top 10 guys who scare the crap out of you.
Should I start that Thursday?
Sure.
Because we have Sox game tomorrow. The top 10 Bears that scare the crap out of me. And there may be some duplicates.
Wow. Once again, that's a subjective list.
Of course it is.
Wow, what scares you may not scare me.
Right.
Imagine.
Roquan Smith may be on this list. Because he may be holding out and they may look to trade him.
Roquan Smith being a Pro Bowl player this year doesn't.
Maybe I'll do the top 10 inside linebackers on the 2022 Bears. We'll see if Roquan makes that list.
Yeah, he may make your list. A brilliant football mind like you.
All right. If you want to weigh in, 332-3776 and Barstool Big Cat joining us at 4.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
VIP tickets to the Football Fest. Brand new event from ESPN 1000. All your favorites will be there today on Cap and Jay Hood. They announced that Adam Schefter will be attending. So will Field Yates. Other surprise guests will be announced along the way. It's August 20th. Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Doors open at 10 a.m. It's free to register. ESPNFootballFest.com. ESPNFootballFest.com. You'll get in free. There used to be a cover charge of $10, $15, $20. It is now a free event. It's going to be much more interactive. We're starting from scratch and we're building it from there. You're going to love it. We got gambling. We've got fantasy. We've got Bears. It's going to be glorious on August 20th at Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. Now, these VIP tickets, you'll get early access. You'll get a meet and greet with Shefty and Field and all of us at ESPN Chicago. You get entrance at 9 a.m. You'll have a special seating area. You'll get food and drinks. So caller 20 right now, 312-332-3776. If you don't win again, go to ESPNFootballFest.com to sign up. We'll give away another pair of VIP tickets coming up next hour and then in the 5 o'clock hour as well. The Cubs won again. The Cubs won, what is it, their sixth straight win?
I think so. I think that they're only 90 back. we're not talking about them getting to the postseason?
We're watching on Marquee right now. You know, Wilson Contreras got multiple standing ovations today. And it's pretty much assumed that this was his last home game in a Cubs uniform at Wrigley Field. He'll play at Wrigley again, I'm sure. But we don't know if he's going to be in a Cubs uniform ever again. This is the last home series that ended today against the Pirates until after the trade deadline of August 2nd. And Ian Happ was soaking it in. You expect Robertson to be dealt, Ian Happ to be dealt, Wilson Contreras to be dealt. Jesse was going through the list today, whether they get anything for Drew Smyly. Givens is going to be dealt. Anything that could be something for a team that's in it.
It's going to be weird if none of them are dealt.
No, it will be a misuse of power, I think.
Well, and that's...
Unless they get signed to an extension. I mean, I would think... To me, that would be the only reason.
Have they been told, obviously, the way they're all acting, they've been told by the front office that they're going to be moved?
Sure seems that way.
Right.
I don't know if they've been told directly or they just know the writing on the wall like we do.
Yeah, but what if nobody's willing to give up something for an Ian Happ?
I think they will. I think they will get something for Ian Happ.
I think they probably will, too, but maybe the offer isn't good enough.
And then what? They would hold him out. He is signed for next year, too.
Right.
But they thought the most value you get Ian Happ is for two postseasons. You get a switch hitter. You get a guy who plays multiple positions. You get multiple teams. More teams are making the postseason than ever before.
Guys on the south side interested?
They could be. Jesse has pitched that. Jesse said they should be interested. You could put him at second base. You get a left-hand power stick. Yeah. There are a lot of options.
But wasn't he, remind me, because I can't remember now, wasn't he kind of a not great defender at second base? That's kind of why they
kind of like what they
moved
have
him
now.
Off of second base.
He's a little slow. He couldn't get to balls up the middle.
I just remember one of the...
So you banking on... I know Josh Harrison has played great defense.
Defensively, he's
You banking
well.
On his recent surge over the last month and a half that he is
no,
now...
No, not at all. I just think if the White Sox acquire Ian Happ, let's make a bad defense worse. You know what I mean? That's not a great recipe either.
I tweeted out somebody like falling off a motorcycle, and I wrote Josh Harrison's first 2 months. And then I tweeted out the gif of someone like doing all these motorcycle tricks and landing perfectly in his garage. I'm like, this is Josh Harrison now.
Listen, defensively, he's been very good recently.
He's hit too.
Yeah.
He's really like in the last month and a half.
Look, he's had a nice.
He's really hitting.
He's had a nice Major League Baseball career. He's just not the piece everyone thought that the White Sox were going to add to put them over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
in the one
the
position.
Difference.
All right, Barstool Big Cat is going to join us. Remember, you can watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. It's brought to you this week by the Jim Irsay Collection. Check it out today at jimirsaycollection.com. Our show is going to be at Navy Pier on August 2nd, as that's the day that the Jim Irsay Collection will be there. He'll be playing as well with his band, jimirsaycollection.com. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.